There and see what the Word of God, what the Lord will have to say today, amen, for us. I hope we'll all learn something from the Word of God that we can take away this morning and apply to our own lives, amen. I praise God for the Word of God. It's a living book, amen. It's a powerful book. We want to look at one verse of Scripture in Amos chapter 3, verse 3 this morning. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 simply says this. It asks a question, a very important question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? We want to look at that briefly this morning. But before we do, as always, we want to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads right now. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God, the authorized version, 1611 King James Bible. That's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. I praise you for that book. Father, now, as I am a human being up here, a fleshly being, Father, I just pray that you'd take me out of my flesh this morning, help me to walk in the Spirit. Father, I can't do anything of myself. The only thing that I can do is because of you this morning. Father, I pray that we'd hear a message from you through my lips, Father. I just pray that you'd use me in a mighty way this morning to preach and teach the words that people need to hear. Help the words to be an edification to the saints of God. I pray if there be a lost soul today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be saved this very day. Father, now, bless this time that we have together, and it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen. Kindly be seated. One of the greatest Bible questions we just read in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, of course, the obvious answer to that question is no. In order for two parties to walk together, there has to be an agreement. The two have to get along. They have to be in agreement. I mean, if you've just done that anything in your own life at work, working with someone and you haven't been in agreement, there's been nothing but turmoil, it's taken longer to do the job if the job is even done, or even at home with family members. You know, if you're not in agreement about something, there's always turmoil and headaches and upheaval and so forth and so on. The reason for that is because of division. Division instead of unity, amen, instead of unity. Most Christians today are not walking with God because they're not in agreement with him and the things of God, what the Word of God has to say. You know, most of Christians today are interested in pleasing their self instead of in pleasing God, amen. The key to walking with God is to be in agreement with God in all areas of your life, amen. You know, you can't hold anything back to God. If you want to be with agreement to God, you can't hold back your little sacred area of your heart. You have to give it all to him, amen. Everything to him. All areas of your life to him, to agree with him. Some Christians may feel that the only way that a Christian can be truly walking with God is to be sinless. But I believe this is not the case. Now, I'm not condoning that we should go out and sin continually, amen. You know, we shouldn't, even though we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace, amen. But I don't believe that's the case. That a person has to be completely sinless to be walking with God. And this morning, we have the testimony of one man in the Scripture who walked with God. And we want to look at that just briefly before we get into our message. It's a man named Enoch. Enoch. Maybe some of you are very familiar with Enoch. But there's very little, it's interesting, for a man that walked with God. There are very few verses within the entire Bible that talk about him. Basically, in two places, if you turn with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 5, turn with me to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 5 with me. We'll see about Enoch. It talks about Enoch there in Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, in verse 21, it begins to speak, actually it talks about him in verse 19, but we want to look at, start in verse 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So he was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. And then it says in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So obviously, up until the time of Methuselah's birth, Enoch was not walking with God. But we're told that after he begat Methuselah at age 65, that for 300 years, he begat sons and daughters. And then it says, all the days of Enoch were 360 in 5 years. So it says Enoch was 365 years old until we get to the next verse, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So what Genesis chapter 5 and those few verses tell us, that first of all, before age 65, Enoch was not walking with God. But it says the days of Enoch, meaning the days of Enoch on this earth, were 360 in 5 years. So what it tells us, amazingly, is that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Most of our Christians today can't walk with God for 30 seconds, amen. But this man walked with God for 300 years. And then it says that he was not, for God took him. In other words, Enoch did not see physical death. There was no funeral. There was no casket. There was no burial, amen. In other words, the Lord just took him. One day he went out walking with the Lord, amen, and never came home. Amen. You know, and Mrs. Enoch to this day is still scratching her head. You know, she sent him out for a loaf of bread, amen, and where is he? He never came home. He walked with God for 300 years. He walked with God 300 years. He walked with God 300 years. We see within that short verses there, 21 to 24 in Genesis chapter 5, it mentions that twice. When God talks about something twice, it's important. It says in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. That's when it began, at age 65. And then again in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. So we see the beginning of his walk at age 65 and at the end at age 365 years old. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, amen. We also read something about his testimony. We know that he walked with God, but in Hebrews chapter 11, which is Hebrews 11 is the great hall of fame for the men of the faith and the people of the faith, amen, in the Bible. Turn with me over there to Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 5, it tells us some more information about Enoch. In Hebrews 11, verse 5, it says this: by faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What we want to see here, Enoch is a picture of the rapture or the translation of the church, amen. The body of Christ will be called up, will be raptured out one day, amen. But what I want to point out there in verse 5 is at the latter part of the verse, it says, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. And if we go, nowhere in the scriptures are we told that Enoch was sinless. Enoch was a human being. Enoch was flesh and blood like you and I, amen. But nowhere do we read that he was sinless. He walked with God. All we were told is that he pleased God. You know, amen. Again, I'm not saying for Christians to go out and give you a license to sin, amen. I'm not saying that. But what I want to say, sometimes the devil will plant in our mind that we have to be squeaky clean to walk with God. Amen. I mean, we're going to see some things on how we can please God and see what the Bible says how we can please God. So what I want to bring out, the key to walking with God is be in agreement with him. Be in agreement with God is connected with pleasing him, pleasing him. You know, the other thing we want to remember too is the Christian today in this current church age, or the age of grace, which it's also known, had a greater advantage than Enoch. Enoch walked with God, if you think about it, without any permanent indwelling Holy Spirit, like the Christian has today, the believer has today. Enoch was also not born again. All right? Enoch was not born again. He wasn't in the body of Christ, amen, as believers are today. Also, Enoch did not have the full written revelation of God, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. Amen. So we're at a greater advantage than Enoch ever was. This morning, what we want to do then is take the Word of God, as we always do, as our measurement, as our guide, as our mirror, and look into it. Amen. And what we want to do this morning is look at how you and I can, as Christians, please God, thereby walk with God. Amen. Walk with God. Number one this morning, the Christian must have faith. We must have faith. Look at what it says right there in Hebrews chapter 11, the next verse in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. We must have faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Paul spake in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what Paul's saying. As Christians, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. If you see something, then it's not of faith, amen. If you're seeing it, amen, you can touch it and put your hands on it. That's not faith because you can see it. You know what God loves to do? God loves saints who walk in the dark, yet trust him to get them through the darkness. Isaiah wrote this over in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. He wrote, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That's what Isaiah says. If you're walking as a Christian right now in the darkness, trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Amen. That's who you should be trusting in. Your faith should be placed in. Micah wrote this, Micah 7:8. It says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. Amen. You know, although your circumstance, maybe you're going through it right now, although your circumstance may seem dark, your faith should not be affected by it. Because your faith should not be focused on not on the circumstance, but on the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. See? That's what you should be focused in, not your circumstances, not how much darkness there is, but how much light God has given you through the light of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John wrote this in the Gospel of John. He wrote this, and he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the light, capital L. John says in John chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verse 9, referring to Jesus, he says, that was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus said this about himself in John chapter 8, the same Gospel of John in verse 12. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christian, if you're walking in darkness, you don't have to. You should be following him. If you're walking in darkness right now, it's because you're not following Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He is the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Also, as we a walk of faith as Christians, should be focused on the Bible, the Word of God, which is referred to as a lamp unto the believer's feet and as a light unto the believer's path. Amen. You know, God often shuts up his dearest saints into trying situations where there is no ray of light. You know, like you can't see that, we use the expression, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, amen. There's no ray of light that can be seen. And the believer must abandon himself and the things that he knows and the things of the world to blind faith in that alone, amen. There has to be a time in your life when you learn to live the life of faith and learn to trust God and learn to act on faith. Until then, your life is not really in fitting shape to minister to anyone. Amen. How can you minister to anyone if you've never walked the walk of faith? Where you've never been in a situation where God has shut out every ray of light. Amen. We could not see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you had to abandon everything that you knew or understand by the world standard, but blindly trust the Lord in faith and place your faith and trust in Him. You know, the problem with the charismatic crowd is their walk is not by faith, but by sight. If you'll notice them, their focus is on the seen and not the unseen. Their focus is on the sign gifts that have passed away, amen, that are not of this age. You know, on the tongues, the speaking in tongues and healings. This is not pleasing to God. This is not pleasing to God. Paul wrote this in Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. These folks, these charismatics, these people that are caught up in the sign gifts are definitely in the flesh. You know, they're satisfied in satisfying the flesh, getting the flesh all worked up. That's why you go into their service and it's nothing but chaos. You have people jabbering and gibberish and falling out on the floor and wiggling and giggling and all this other stuff. Amen. It's not a walk of faith, but of sight. You know, they can say, see, I did this. I'm saved. Amen. See, I'm a good Christian. Look it. I babble a lot and stuff that people couldn't understand me, that couldn't edify anyone. Amen. So to please God, our Christian walk should be one of faith. Our Christian walk should be one of faith. Number two, turn with me if you would to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Point number two, we want to see that the Christian should speak, or his speech should please God. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, he wrote this. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our heart. See, our speech and what we speak should please God. In a verse that Paul just wrote, what God has entrusted each and every Christian with is with the gospel. The gospel. You know, Christ died. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news that you and I should speak. You know, the gospel doesn't please men. You know, a couple of Saturdays ago, I was out there on the streets of Billerica, and I had a sign on there that's telling people how to be saved, amen, and I was preaching the word of God, and people weren't pleased. They wagged their heads. They had something derogatory to say to me, amen. But Paul says, and that's the kind of speech that pleases God. You know, the word of God is a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's a two-edged sword. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, amen. You know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God reveals the true heart of man. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, amen. That's why when you go and you witness to someone and you testify to someone about how they can be saved, and you give your testimony, amen, and you put the word of God on them, they don't like it. It cuts them up. It's a sword of the Spirit. It reveals the contents of their heart, that it's desperately wicked, and they're in need to get right with God through His Son. That they're an enemy of God, and then they have to be reconciled or made peace with God the Father through God the Son, through His blood atonement, amen. But see, that's, when we say that stuff, that's pleasing to God, not pleasing to men. We have the testimony We have the testimony of Peter and the other apostles. Their speech pleased God. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. What we see there, Peter and the other apostles were put into prison. Amen. They were put into prison for teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. If you ever start preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Amen. Praise God. That's the kind of trouble I want to be in. Amen. But they were teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus, and they were put into prison. And then we're told the angel of the Lord came by night and brought them forth, got them out of the prison, and instructed them to go to the temple and preach. And they went exactly with the Spirit of God. The angel of the Lord told them. They went into the temple and they were teaching and preaching. Amen. And then the authorities came and they said, where are these guys? They discovered that they had escaped. And someone told them, hey, those guys are over in the temple. They're preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus again. The same thing that you told them not to do. Amen. So, of course, they were brought before the authorities, before the council and the high priest. And we pick up the story in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. And they say to Peter and the other apostles, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? They were talking about the name of Jesus again. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now listen what Peter and the other apostles answered. In verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. And that's what we do when we speak the gospel. When our speech pleases God, we're obeying God and not men. Amen. When we speak and we please God, it's not pleasing to men, but who cares? Because we're commissioned. We're each given the great commission to preach the word of God, be instant in season and out of season, put the word on people, tell them how to be saved. Amen. See, what Peter and the other apostles were not man pleasers, they were God pleasers, because they spoke the things that pleased God. You know, unlike there was another bunch, you know, I call them the closet Christians, the one that come to Jesus by night Christians, amen. There's plenty of you out there, amen, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to, sometimes walk up to a perfect stranger or even walk up to someone you know and start telling them about how to be saved, amen. But praise God, that's what God wants us to do. And he said, all you need to do is pray for boldness, amen. You need to loosen your lips, amen. You know, too much, to Christians are too much described as like the Arctic River, amen. They're frozen at the lips, amen. We need to pray for boldness, and not only boldness, because sometimes we put our foot in our mouth when what we say, not only boldness and speaking for Jesus Christ, but we also need to also ask for great wisdom in what to say, amen. But anyways, there was a bunch. There was a bunch of other believers. I call them the group that came to Jesus by night. And this is their testimony. They're over in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. In verse 42, it says, John chapter 12, verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. They're talking about Jesus. Among the chief rulers, many believed on him. Amen. Praise God for that. But because of the Pharisees, look out, here comes man, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And here's their testimony in verse 43. For they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Amen. Hey, if you're going to amount for anything for God, Christian, I'm going to tell you right now, you better love the praises of God more than the praises of men, because you're not going to amount for a hill of beans. And someday, you're going to get up before that judgment seat of Christ, and Christ is going to show you your life and what you could have done and what you didn't do, amen? And you're going to see all the rewards you could have had and you should have had, but you're not going to have, because you were more interested in speaking the things that would tickle people's ears and make them please man instead of God. Our speech, if you want to please God, Christian, your speech should please God and not man, amen? You know, to reinforce our point, the Christian is to speak as pleasing God and not man. He does this when he witnesses, as we said, and shares the gospel entrusted to him. Paul wrote this and connected with our speech. He said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul wrote this, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's why people don't know God, is because they're, because of this worldly wisdom they're putting before God and before the Word of God. That's why they don't know God, is because of the wisdom of this world. And then he says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Now listen up. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. So it pleases God, even he calls preaching foolishness, but it pleases God when you preach the Word of God and when you witness to someone, because it's what saves the individual. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. It pleases God when we preach, because it's how people get saved. We see that it talks over there in the book of Acts when Peter was sent over there to Cornelius, and in his house, you know, we're told about Cornelius, how he was a devout man. If you looked at him on the outside, you swear the man was a Christian, amen. You know, he tithed, he gave alms, he was a devout man, he had a good report of the Jews from without, amen. He prayed, he fasted, amen, and so forth and so on. But still, it says Peter had to go to him and tell him what he ought to do, amen. You figure a man that was doing all those things, there wasn't anything left to do, amen. But Peter had to be sent to that man, Cornelius, so he know what he ought to do, amen. And so we see Peter was sent, and he was preaching the Word of God. He's preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection, amen, to that Gentile, to that devout man, amen. And it says, well, Peter yet spake these words, the Word of God, in other words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the Word, amen. But Cornelius and those with him got saved that day, because as they were listening, amen, the Word of God, that incorruptible seed came into them, they heard the Word of God, and they believed, and they were saved that very day. God uses the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching is what pleases God, because it is what saves men, amen. So number two this morning, the Christian pleases God by his speech, and particularly his speech in witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you would, in the Word of God, in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. No man that walleth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. No man that walleth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. You know what pleases God, Christian, is when you and I don't get mixed up and don't entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. Amen. When we don't get mixed up with that inside out, the unsaved crowd, and we, you know, party with them and everything else. Amen. You know, we have to deal with the affairs of this world. You know, we have bills and we have debts that we have to pay and so forth and so on. But we should not be entangled or not be in love with this present world system that we're in right now. Amen. Like Demas, Paul described Demas, who once labored with Paul. He described Demas over in Philemon, and in verse 24, he called Demas my fellow laborers. However, just prior to his death, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he says concerning Demas, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. See, Demas got caught up. He got himself entangled with the affairs of this world. We also have the testimony of another man, Lot, got entangled with the affairs of the world. You know, we are told, we saw there in the beginning how he looked up and saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then before you know it, he was in Sodom. And then we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. We're told that Lot, that he sat in the gate of Sodom, amen. To be able to sit in the gate of a city, it meant that you had to be a town official, amen. It shows you that that man, that Lot, got entangled with the affairs of the world, amen. The world, the system of Satan, amen. And what's the result? What's the result? Lot ended up in a cave. He ended up in a cave drunk, having a child by each of his unmarried daughters, amen. We know that his other daughters were destroyed in Sodom. with the husbands, because Lot had no testimony. And when he went to warn his daughters and son-in-laws about the incoming judgment upon Sodom, they looked at him and said, "What are you, man? What are you getting religious all of a sudden? Get out of here, amen." We also know that Lot's wife was turning the pillar of salt as she looked back upon the city as they were leaving. In fact, Jesus writes one of the shortest verses of Scripture, "Remember Lot's wife," amen. And that's a warning to you and I. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. Remember, it's God does not want you to get entangled into the affairs of this world. The Apostle John wrote this over in his first epistle in chapter 2. John wrote this in verse 15. He says, "Love not the world." Christian, underline it, highlight it. He says, "Love not the world, number one, neither the things that are in the world." That's an admonition, amen. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If you love the world and the things of the world, John is saying the love of the Father is not in you, amen. You know, on Sundays, you should be in a place of worship, amen, in a good Bible-believing local New Testament church like as ourselves here, amen. You know, not every Sunday up at Winnipesaukee in the speedboat, amen, or down to Las Vegas or a Foxwood gambling, amen, but worshiping, amen, coming to a place of worship, being with other Christians, opening up the Word of God, amen. John warns about getting entangled in the affairs of the world. So when we stay separate, when we don't get entangled in the affairs of the world, that pleases God, number two. And number three, it pleases God, it pleases God when we pray. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Some of these things to please God are very easy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at in verse number 1 and following. Paul writes, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Amen. So we see then, it tells us some things to pray about, and prayer pleases God. Amen. It talks about three areas. Amen. It talks about prayers. In verse number 1, it breaks it down. First of all, supplications, prayers, and intercession. Supplication, amen. Supplication is basically a prayer for a supply or something that you or someone else needs. Okay? Prayers. Prayers are simply a list of things asked for. Prayer is asking. And then three, intercession are prayers that are said on the behalf of someone who is unable to get the prayer answered, who doesn't see the need of prayer. You can make intercession for or against someone, amen. But what he's saying is, when we pray and we give thanks for all men, okay, all men, not just for the saved, but he wants us to pray for even the unsaved, for all the unsaved, amen. It pleases God, amen. When we pray, we're to pray for our leaders, amen. That includes President Clinton, amen. Even though we don't agree on a lot of his stands, okay, that they're against the Bible, in the same way with Vice President Gore, amen. We're to pray for these men, even though we don't. We have to pray also for not only our world leaders, our federal leaders. We think of our U.S. representatives. We have a couple of sex perverts, and that's what they are, Bonnie Frank and Gary Studs. But God says to pray for these men also, amen. To pray for our local leaders, amen. And all that are in authority. When you pray for our leaders, for the kings and the leaders and people in authority, it pleases God, amen. Now, when we say in authority, that covers a lot of a territory, if you think about it. That would be policemen, firemen, teachers, pastors, parents, supervisors at work, amen. You may have a supervisor that you don't like and you don't get along, but you're to pray for that person, amen. And for wardens of prisons, anyone in authority, we're to pray for them. We're to intercede, intercessory prayer. We're to pray on someone's behalf for the Lord to intervene in their life, amen. That pleases God. You know, prayer that benefits others pleases God. You know, sometimes we get caught up in praying about, I need this and I need that, and we never pray about what maybe someone else needs, amen. That pleases God when you pray for someone else, for their need, for their supply, when you intercede for their need, amen. Prayer that benefits others pleases God. Solomon's prayer, for example. Remember Solomon? God told him when he turned over the throne to him that he could have anything that he wanted. That he could have anything that he wanted. He could have asked for all the riches in the world. Amen. But this is what he prayed. He said in 1 Kings chapter 3, he said, therefore, thy servant, give therefore, he said in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, they so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So Solomon could have asked anything, but basically he asked for wisdom on how to judge the people and be rule over them and be a good ruler, amen. That kind of prayer pleases God. So we see number four, supplication, prayers, and intercession and giving thanks for all men pleases God. Then we want to see very quickly spiritual sacrifices offered by the Christian pleases God. Pleases God. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, the Christian today, each Christian, each born-again believer, makes up, which is called the royal priesthood, amen. We're all priests, amen. And we make up that royal priesthood. But you and I are not to offer up physical sacrifices like the Levitical priesthood did there back in the Old Testament, where they brought bullocks and so forth and animals and slayed them. But we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices, amen. Spiritual sacrifices. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. There it is, well pleased. The sacrifice of praise, amen. Giving praise to God continually. How many of us do that? Not many of us praise God continually, amen. The praise of God should be on our lips continually. Over in the book of Psalms, it talks about praise. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 69, in verse 30, it says this. David wrote this. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. What's that saying to you and I, Christian, is when we praise God generally from the heart, that pleases God more than any of your religious outward stuff that you could do, amen. When you praise God from the heart, that's a genuine praise of God, he pleases him more than any of the outward religious stuff that you do, amen. Then he says also giving thanks is a spiritual sacrifice, amen, that pleases God in verse 15. To do good, amen, in verse 16 pleases good. And to communicate, and I mean to communicate not only in words, but also in material things, to help out Christians in need with money or whatever it may be, amen. Spiritual sacrifices please God, amen. Spiritual sacrifices. And then finally, quickly, this is geared specifically number 6 for the children and how to please God. He gives you one instruction. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 20. Paul wrote, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your parents when? Sometimes? No. Most of the time? No. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things. In other words, to obey parents all the time. That's not happening. I'm not talking about the unsaved homes. I'm talking about the people that are saved, their homes. The children are very rarely obeying their parents, so they're not pleasing God. Amen. That's a warning. That's an admonition that children, obey your parents in all things. All the time, amen. You know, one of the byproducts in the scripture of pleasing God is peace and protection. Proverbs chapter 16, it says this. You should underline it if it's not highlighted or whatever. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You want peace with your neighbor across the street or next to you that's unsaved? Then your ways, if they please the Lord, he'll make them to be at peace with you. Amen. This morning we've seen six things on how to please God, how to be in agreement with God, how to walk with God. We should have, number one, a walk of faith. Our speech, witnessing of the gospel, preaching pleases God. Don't get entangled with the affairs of the world, amen, that pleases God. Pray and give thanks for all men, that pleases God. Spiritual sacrifices, as we just saw quickly. And children, specifically, obey your parents. Christian, what's your testimony this morning? Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God, amen. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 29. He said, for I do always those things that please him. Christian, can you say that? Christian, can you say that 100% that you always do those things that please him, amen? You know, the Father said on more than one occasion, God the Father said about the Son. He said this on more than one occasion. He said it at the baptism of his Son and at the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, the Bible says that each one of us Christian, each one of us persons that are born again, that are saved, is a child of God. John wrote in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, he wrote this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Christian, is it your testimony that the Father can say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? We've looked at just a few things to help you, to help me this morning. Some things that we can be doing that will make him well pleased. Are you doing them? If you're not, you should. You should. Your walk should be of faith. Your speech should be speech that pleases him. You should be witnessing, preaching the word of God. Don't get entangled with the worlds of the fear of the world, the affairs of the world, amen. Be separate, amen. Be separate. Come out from among them and be ye clean. We should be offering up spiritual sacrifices, amen. Giving him thanks and praise and doing good and communicating, amen. And we, children, you want to please God, very simply, obey your parents in all things. And we should be praying and giving thanks for all men, amen. If you are watching at home today and you're unsaved, the Bible says that someday you're going to end up in the lake of fire. You're first going to come up before a great white throne judgment. You're going to be judged by the word of God on your works, amen, so forth and so on. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone forever and ever. But the good news is, Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to die and go to hell. You just need to repent of your sins and trust and place your faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto